Then Mrs. Dawson is going to come and sing a special for us. And of course, you know where the scripture is that we're going. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. Your Bible should automatically open up to that passage of scripture. Amen. Because that has been the source of our study all year long. Stand and withstand in the Lord, ready for battle. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. How many of you have recognized the fact that you were in a battle this week? Amen. And you had to pull out that sword, keep that helmet glued on. Amen. I tell you, we are in a battle. And it is raging. And by the way, it is relentless. And so the moment you wake up, the battle starts. You say, preacher, what battle is that? The battle against your flesh. How many of y'all wanted to get up out of the bed every day this week? That's a battle of the flesh, even though you know you had to get up. That's a battle of the flesh. Amen. How many of you young people wanted to go to bed when it was time to go to bed? Probably not many. Amen. Unless school is starting. Amen. G2 is the only one. Amen. We want to stay up late. We don't want to get up in the morning. That's a battle. It is. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10 is the topic of study throughout this year. And we're going through a mid-year review. It's a little over mid-year. Amen. We've got 5 months left, so a little bit over. Verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Read verse 11 with me. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The reason is given in verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Read verse 13 with me. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And Paul, in the next several verses, says, stand therefore. He says, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. It is not your sword. It is God's sword, God's Holy Spirit's sword, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So he gives us what we need to do. Today, we're just going to have another review. We're going to review verse number 10 today as to what we ought to be doing, and trust God that we are doing it, because I can guarantee you this, the devil is going to do his business.
Yes, sir, he is.
It just behooves us to make sure that we're ready for his business, because guess what? We as the Christian should be on the offense, not on the defense. We are not to be running. We are to be charging. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, Jesus said. And so if we're going to charge, we don't want to charge without our armor. We want to make sure that we are prepared for the battle that is ahead. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you once again for your goodness. Thank you that we can sing about you. Sing the wonderful story of Christ who died for us. Lord, not only did you die for us and give us eternal life, you rose again for us. And Lord, not only did you rise again for us, you gave us armor to wear in this battle. You've placed us in this world. You told us to go ye therefore and teach all nations. But you have given us the protective gear to go with. And that is called the armor of God. Help us today as we stand and withstand, ready for the battle. Lord, we cannot do this without your strength, without your power, without your might, without your armor. So work in us today as we review some things we've already touched upon. Lord, help us to assess where we're at from the beginning of the year. And I do pray that we're a little bit further along than when we were in the beginning of the year. We are changed a little bit more into the image of Christ than we were in the beginning of the year. We're a little bit more equipped and ready for the deceiver, the devil and his demons. And Lord, I pray that we might take the weaponry that you've given us. We may stand against the wiles of the devil. Pray for anyone today under the sound of my voice that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. They've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. I do pray for that man, that woman, that boy or girl, they might receive the precious gospel, the love of God, that they may be saved. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And help that man, woman, boy or girl to sense your pulling, your love, and your tugging at their heart. They might repent and receive Christ today. And for Christians, may we stay fully armed, ready for the battle. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do today, what you've already done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen. Mrs. Dawson has our special this morning. I look into your holiness. Amen. Praise God. It should impact us when we do look at our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is to be in the house of God once again, and also to just get a review of where we're at and what we're doing and where we should be. I don't know about you, but it seems that it's becoming increasingly difficult to stand as a Christian nowadays. You say, preacher, why do you say that? Many of the things that we used to enjoy seem to not be in existence like they are. You used to be able to carry your Bible in the school systems. It seems like you can't do that anymore. You used to be able to pray without a problem in the name of the Father and of the Son, of the Holy Ghost. And that used to not be a problem. That seems to be a problem. You can pray as long as you don't mention the name of Jesus, by the way. It seems more and more today the name of Jesus Christ is becoming more and more divisive, but Jesus said it was going to be that way. Amen. He said it was going to get a lot worse before it was going to get better. Why? Because when you choose the name of Jesus, you're choosing a side. You can pray to the Almighty God out there, but if you're going to pray to the Almighty God, it better be in Jesus' name, because Jesus and God are the same. Amen. And people are okay with you today praying to God, the God of the cosmos, as long as his name is not Jesus. And by the way, Jesus created it all. Last time I checked, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And so it's becoming increasingly hard to stand as a Christian because laws are changing against us. Now God created man and woman, and now two men can get married, two ladies can get married, and society says that's okay. And so when you stand against that now, it's a little bit more difficult. Back in the days, it was not that way. And so more and more, it is becoming increasingly difficult for you and I as Bible-believing Christians to stand than it was, get this, than just the beginning of this year.
That's right, Pastor, that's right.
Hey, the military is paying for sex changes now with your tax dollars. Your tax dollars. And you have no say-so in it. What am I saying? It's getting tough to stand.
Yes, sir, it is.
Hey, you've got to go into the department stores now, and although the guy's name says Bob, he looks like Jill.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Amen.
Exactly.
And it'll say Bob plain as day, but he looks like Jill. And you're thinking, did you misplace your name tag?
Uh-huh.
And not only does he look like Jill, he sounds like Jill. And he walks like Jill.
Yes.
And you're thinking, wait a minute, there's something wrong with this story. And as a boss, you better not try to fire them, because that's discrimination.
Yes, sir.
And that's a civil rights issue. No, that's a moral issue.
Yes, sir, it is.
And so it's becoming increasingly hard for you and I to stand today more than it was back in January. You say, well, I thought President Trump was going to fix that. Ha, ha, ha. Since when is the president going to fix the moral issues of this nation? That comes from God's people.
Amen.
Amen. And so if you and I are going to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, it behooves us to have our armor on, because it's getting tougher.
Amen.
By the way, our children now are being taught that it's okay to have two mommies or two daddies.
Mm-hmm.
And you better not say anything against it.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you're living in a box. No, I'm living in the will of God. Now, if you want to call that a box, that's up to you. But you better not say anything against Jill and Barbara in that home. I'm sorry, your name is Barbara. I can't use that name. Anybody named Jill in here? Anybody named Sally? Okay. You better not say anything against Jill and Sally, because now that's discrimination. That's a federal offense. That's a unjust. And how dare you as a Christian say that? Well, because God said so.
That's right, Pastor.
And so I can say that. Well, we don't want your God in this society. Well, we've already figured that out.
Yes, sir.
I want to kick God out of everything. Hey, by the way, some people letting them kick God out of church.
Lord.
You better watch what you say in that pulpit, preacher. We'll close your doors. I'll go under a tree if I have to.
Amen, Pastor.
You close these, I'll go under a tree. I'll go out, close down the tree. We'll chop it down. I'll go in the meadows, chop down the meadows. I'll go into the desert, chop that down.
Amen, Pastor.
Amen. Hey, I'm just saying they're making it increasingly hard for you and I to stand with all these laws that they're passing and saying, you can't do this and you can't say that and you can't be this and you can't be that. They're ordaining gay priests and gay ministers and all sorts of crazy things that God never intended. And you and I better not stand against it. Or else.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? There's got to be somebody that's going to stand against it. Amen. We're the Elijahs. We're the Elishas.
Yes,
we're the Jeremiahs. Preacher, we're the Haggai's.
Amen.
Hey, we're the Jonah's.
Amen.
To preach and cry against that wickedness.
Yes.
Hey, in order to do that, we're going to have to stand.
Yes, sir.
And we cannot stand without the Word of God. And so Paul here writing to this church here, and as our theme all year, be able to stand, be able to withstand. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. It is our goal and it is our desire to stand for our Lord and our Savior. The word stand means to abide, continue, hold up, establish, be fixed or steadfast. Notice verse 11 again. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand or abide, continue, hold up, establish, be fixed or steadfast against the wiles of the devil. Notice verse number 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand. The word withstand there means to oppose, to resist, to set against. To withstand in the evil day. How many of y'all would agree with me that today is an evil day? Amen. It's more evil than it was yesterday. And having done all to stand, he says, stand therefore. In our text here, Paul's giving the Ephesian brethren all the training that they needed for this spiritual boot camp to succeed in the Christian life. You know, I was in the military, and I'm so glad that they took us through training. You went through boot camp, and they trained you in the way that you needed to know about in the Air Force. They gave you all the basics that you need in boot camp, amen? How to survive, how to do this, how to shoot your gun, how to put your helmet on, how to put on your steel-toed boots. How to put on your camouflage gear. I'll never forget the time that I went out for a chemical warfare training. And I didn't have my goggles. You cannot wear these glasses with chemical warfare gear because that doesn't fit. You've got to have glasses that are smoothly fit across your face. And they said, go ahead. A missile has hit down there. Chemical warfare. Don your helmets. And I put my helmet on with these glasses and it wouldn't fit. Now, I had two choices. Leave my helmet off and perish from the gases. Or take off my glasses and put my helmet on and I can't see.
Amen, Amen.
Both are deadly. Because they had marked all over the place these little decals that said, that's a bomb. That's a bomb. And so to put my helmet on without my glasses, I'm going to step on a bomb.
That's right.
To not have take my glasses off, I can't see. If I take my helmet off, I'm going to die. What do y'all think I did? I put that thing on, took my glasses off.
Amen.
I'm not going to die. And so I put that thing on. And you know what I did? I got behind somebody else that didn't wear glasses, and I followed them, so I knew I wouldn't step on a bomb.
Amen.
And wherever they went, I went. Whatever they touched, I touched. Hey, mama didn't raise no fool. I couldn't see on myself, so I had to follow somebody. Hey, sometimes when we get saved, hey, we don't know a whole lot about the Bible. We got to follow somebody.
Amen.
Because I don't know everything, and so I've got to find somebody that I can follow around to do something and pray God that they're doing the right thing. But then when you learn, guess what? You follow God on your own. And you put on your armor yourself. And you get out there and start fighting the battle yourself. Hey, man, I'll never forget, I put that thing on, and he said, Sergeant, that's a bomb over there. I thought, whoa.
Whoa.
Sergeant, that's a bomb over there. Whoa.
Whoa.
Sergeant, there's a bomb right there. Whoa. But, Sergeant, you've got to go forward. I thought, there's a bomb here, there's a bomb there. Where am I supposed to go? I can't go backwards. There's probably a bomb there, too.
Amen.
And, you know, and the wise, can you see? I didn't want to tell him, no, I couldn't see. I don't have my glasses on. I can't see.
Amen.
That's when I found that guy. Are you going in the right direction? Yeah, let's go. Amen. Pray, let's hold hands if we have to. Amen. I'm not getting away from you.
Amen.
Hey, sometimes it's like that. We got to grab hold of somebody else until we learn what we need to do. That's what discipleship is all about. That's what coming to the house of God is all about. That's what getting in the Word of God. But sooner or later, guess what? You got to stand by yourself. When you go out there at your job, you can't hold somebody's hand. When you go out there to school, you can't hold somebody's hand. When you go out there with the friends out there at that sporting activity, you can't hold somebody's hand. And you've got to be able to stand alone. Daniel went down there to Babylon. Said that Daniel purposed in his heart. And so Daniel was able to stand alone. Hey, folks, we're living in a day and age. We've got to be able to stand alone.
And Paul, writing to this church, he says, look, I want you guys to be able to stand. You're not going to be able to group up and follow each other. Hey, once church is out and you say the last amen, you're going to go home. You're going to go back to your places of living. And so you're going to go to your jobs. You can't just stay with the church all day long and group up with them and try to be protected. You're going to be on your own. So you've got to have your armor on. You've got to be clothed. And so Paul giving them the encouragement here to equip them to stand and withstand in the battle. We found out last week that we must not become a victim in our stand. 1 Corinthians 10:12 said it this way, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Jude 1:24 said, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. And then we saw number two, we must continue in our vigilant stand. 1 Peter 5:8 we saw, be sober, be vigilant, be watchful, being careful. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And then we saw also that we have victory in our stand. The Bible says that Jesus Christ has given us the victory. But thanks be unto God, which causes us always to triumph. We have the victory. And so with that said, we're going to finish up with some more of this review in chapter number 6 and verse number 10. Let me give you the background of the book of Ephesians. First of all, the book of Ephesians is a textbook manual for successful Christian living. If you've never read it, I would encourage you to do so. Our beliefs are covered in chapters 1, 2, and 3, and it deals with the position of the Christian in the battle or their wealth in Christ. And it's the reason why we can stand. The military would never send its troops out without giving them the equipment necessary to stand. And so in chapters 1, 2, and 3, the wealth of Christ is discussed, and we believe that, and it's our position in Christ, and so we can stand. Chapters 4, 5, and 6 up to verse number 9 deals with our behavior. And it's covered in those chapters. It deals with our practice or our Christian walk in this battle. It tells us how we can stand. Then you come over to chapter 6, verses 10 through 17. Our battle is covered there. And it deals with the protection of the Christian or their wardrobe in Christ, and tells us how we should continue to stand. And so after Paul gives them all of this necessary information concerning their wealth in Christ in chapters 1, 2, and 3, their walk in Christ in chapters 4, 5, and 6, he says, now let me give you this wardrobe that you're going to need to have as you attempt to walk. Mm-hmm. By the way, none of us would attempt to go outside and walk naked. Okay. At least I hope you wouldn't.
Not
in your right mind. You go over to Europe, guess what they do? They do that. You know what that leads me to believe? They're not in their right minds. Amen. Because God, as soon as they sinned, he clothed them. He put some clothes on them. He said, that nakedness got to go. Amen. By the way, they realized they were naked before that. When they sinned, they realized, I'm naked. God did not tell them they were naked. And I believe the Europeans know they're naked. You say, preacher, they're not ashamed. That's because they're anesthetized by sin. Amen. And so Paul gives them the wardrobe here that they need to have on after giving them all of their wealth and giving them their walk. He says there's a wardrobe that goes with this. And so he says in verse number 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I just want to give you some pointers to review on here as we go forward in this review. He gives them, first of all, he says, I want you to heed the final call. Heed the final call. He says, finally, my brethren. In other words, after all I've told you, this is what I want you to do. Now notice he says, finally, brethren. So he tells you who he's addressing. He's addressing people that are saved. These are people that know the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, finally, my brethren. In other words, school is just starting now and some children are just going to kindergarten. And moms tell the children, hey, now make sure you've got mommy's cell phone number, right? You've got this and you've got this, and don't talk to strangers and don't take candy and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. So she's saying, finally, before you go to school, I've gotten you dressed. I've trained you up. I've told you what to do. I've told you what not to do. In other words, hey, this is all your wealth in Christ. This is all your wealth. You're a Dawson. You have these things. And so now this is your walk. So walk like a Dawson when you get to school. Talk like a Dawson when you get to school. Do all these things like a Dawson, but now here's your wardrobe. You got your clothes on. You got all this on. Amen. Now I want you to go to school. He says, finally, my brethren. He lets you know exactly who he's talking to. May I submit to you that there are a lot of people that are trying to fight this battle and they're not saved? He said, finally, my brethren. That means these are saved people. And so if I'm going to heed this final call, if he says, finally, my brethren, I've got to know who is a brother and who's not a brother. Who's a sister and who's not a sister? He says, finally, my brethren. Now, show you what I'm talking about. Go back to chapter number one. So Paul addresses several classes of brethren. He says, you know what? I've told you who you are, and so I want you to put on this armor. The first class of brethren are sincerely saved brethren. Notice chapter number one and verse number one. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, grace always comes first and then mercy and peace. And then he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Notice verse 4, according as he hath what? Chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. In other words, he says, anybody that's going to get saved is going to come through Jesus Christ. Amen. He's chosen us in him. And so if I'm not in him, I'm not coming to him. Mm-hmm. Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so he's chosen us in him. And so anybody's going to come to Christ is going to come to Christ or come to God through Christ. He says he's chosen us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be what? Holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Verse 7, in whom we have what? Redemption through his blood. So Paul says, finally, brethren, one of the classes of brethren are sincerely saved brethren. Let me ask you this. Have you been to the cleansing fountain of the blood of Jesus Christ? Have you been born again? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of those same sins is death. He said, all that the Father hath cometh to me and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So in other words, my first question, if he's saying, finally, brethren, if you are going to stand, you've got to make sure you're one of his. Amen. Hey, he said, Paul said, I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know. Hey, folks, February 3rd, 1991, I know whom I believe. I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. February 3rd, 1991, that old church in Belgium got a video message from Pastor Mickle, still pastoring that church over there. Church is still in existence. I remember when I came to Christ that morning, February 3rd, 1991, and I came under the auspices of, I come, this guy will leave me alone and get off my back because I'm coming just to get him off my back. And so I came there and said, if I come to church and sit and fall asleep in church, he'll leave me alone because at least I was there. I was at the club the night before. I had a hangover, probably had a headache. And I came and I sat and folded my arms. Preach to me then, preacher. I shall not be moved. Amen. What you gonna say, you babbler? And I folded my arms sort of like that. Like, what you gonna tell me that I don't already know? That you're a sinner? And you're going to hell? That got my attention. That hell business caught my attention. Say, why did hell business catch your attention? Because I thought that I could go to heaven and make a deal with God.
Amen, Pastor.
Say, preacher, you thought you were that savvy? No, I just get on my knees and plead.
Yes, sir.
God, be merciful to me, a sinner. No, you had your chances during life. In death, there are no chances.
Right.
Guess what? Solomon said, where the tree lies, there it lays. Amen. Where it falls, that's where it's going to lay. But I thought that I could do that, so I'm preaching. Yeah, preach to me there, preacher. And man, he started saying, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I looked around like, yeah, all y'all have. Wage of sin is death. Yeah, y'all better watch out. Yeah, God's going to get y'all. Hey, I've been baptized already. La-di-da. I gave a quarter in the offering. La-di-da. I'm a good person.
Yeah. There you go, Pastor.
Well, you know, I pray every night. Well, I read my Bible. And your point is, it was a living Bible on top of that. And so I thought I was good. But then guess what happened? A bizarre thing happened, Susie. The Holy Spirit began to say, hey, son, he's talking about you. And I got to stop looking over to my left and I got to stop looking over my right. And I got to saying, who is that talking to me? And as I looked at the preacher, it was like the preacher said, I'm talking to you.
Amen.
And I got to saying, let me part so you can get that real the person you're trying to get. you got their number. And for a while, I thought he was talking to my wife. But then she was looking like, hey, I got my own things I'm dealing with over here. Amen. And the Holy Spirit showed up and began saying, son, you're not righteous. You're not right. There is no deal that you're going to make when you get to heaven. You're going to die and you're going to go to hell right now if you don't get that thing settled. And a strange thing happened, Jesse. I got scared. I got scared. I had already crashed into a house a couple of months ago before that and didn't get a scratch on me. It's almost as if God was saying, I didn't give you a chance, son. Now, you didn't crash that house drinking and driving. You know you're crazy. Now, by the way, there was a gal here a couple weeks ago that ran into several people drunk and driving. That could have easily been me. That could have easily been me. By the grace of God, I ran into a house, not a person. By the grace of God, I hit a house front door and ran inside the house and not somebody. By the grace of God, God spared me of that. But I'm no different than that gal. Say, what's the difference? The grace of God was upon me. And so I got scared. And when I got scared, like that guy in the Bible, my knees smote one against another. And I thought, there's a chance that I can die and go to hell. But I think I'm saved. I think I'm okay. But there was that still small voice of the Holy Spirit saying, but what if you're wrong? But I think I'm okay. But what if you're wrong? But what if you're wrong? The what ifs got me. I think I'm okay. And I think if I die, I can plead my case with God. But what if I'm wrong?
Yes, Pastor. Oh, yes.
And man, that invitation came. And my wife grabbed my hand like we always did. And I grabbed hers. And I thought to myself, if you go, I'm going.
Amen.
But if you don't go, I ain't going. And I guess she must have thought the same thing because she grabbed my hand and she didn't move. And I didn't move. And so we said, I thought, well, I'll wait till the invitation is over, then I'll go to the preacher. Strange thing, nobody wanted to leave the church. I'm like, well, if y'all would just go home, I want to talk to the preacher so I can get to, just go home, y'all leave. Go somewhere. There was no Burger King to go to, no McDonald's. They couldn't go there. And they kind of hung around. So finally, I got my wife and let's go talk to this preacher. Mm-hmm. What's all this heaven and hell stuff about? He said, you want to go to heaven? I sure don't want to go to hell. That's a dumb question.
Amen,
I'm already scared. Didn't you see me gripping the pew like this? Didn't you see my knuckles turn white? Didn't you see this smug look go to this? I'm sure as a preacher, you saw that horror look on my face that said, I'm in trouble. I want to be saved. And they say, what about you, Ms. Dawson? Ms. Dawson's like, yeah, I'm going to get some of that too.
Amen.
And so what am I saying? I got saved that day. Mm-hmm. And you know, the day that I got saved, I was chosen in him before the foundation of the world.
Wow.
So what I'm saying, preacher, God had preordained that everybody that gets saved are going to come through Christ. That's the way it is.
Yes,
hey, my friend, so if you didn't come through Christ, then guess what? You're not one of those that's been chosen yet. But the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so today you can be saved. Amen. So Paul said, first of all, let me let you know who I'm talking to. I'm talking to the brethren that are sincerely saved. They should stand. And then he goes on. He says some other things here. Go over to chapter number 5. Who are these brethren that Paul is saying, finally, my brethren, too? There's sincerely saved brethren, but then there's sweetly submitting brethren. Notice Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. He says, sweetly submitting brethren should stand. If you're a wife, then you should be submitting as unto the Lord. You say, but he's not worth submitting to. God didn't ask you that question. You married him, didn't you? Well, he was sweet and suave and debonair when I married him. Now he's fat and foolish and old. Amen. Hey, I'm sorry. That goes with the territory. Hey, I was buff when I met my wife. My kids looked at one of my pictures where I was flexing, and my son G2 said, "Dad, what happened to all that?" And I thought, it's there, it's just in a different form. I said, hey, you too will get older. The Lord tarries is coming. Amen. But guess what? Sweetly submitting brethren should stand. Because Paul, by the time he gets to chapter number 6, he says, stand therefore. If you're a brethren, if you're a one should be sweetly submitting, then I need you to stand in your position, in your capacity. Ladies, let me ask you the question. How has your submission level been since January? Because he says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, not somebody else's. And then he says, as unto the Lord. He said, the same way you would to Christ, do it. He doesn't stop there. Who else should be standing? He says, lovingly leading brethren should stand. Verse 25, husbands, what did he say? Love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. He said, lovingly leading brethren should stand. Husbands, are we loving our wives as Christ loved the church? How has our improvement been since January? Why? Paul is saying, brethren, if you're going to stand, you're going to need this armor on, but let me give you the capacity that you should be standing in. You're going to be a sincerely saved person. You're going to be a sweetly submitting person. You're going to be a lovingly leading person. That's the capacity you're going to stand. The armor just gives you the ability to stand. But that's who should be standing. Then he says, obviously, obeying brethren should stand. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, chapter 6 and verse 1. Obviously, obeying children should stand. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? That's just right. I don't know about you. Does it frustrate you when you go to the grocery store and you see some little kid that just won't obey their parents? They snatch away from their parents. They run and, little Johnny, come here. No. Johnny, if you don't come over here, no. No. I remember listening to Curtis Hudson one time. He was talking about this parent who wouldn't obey, or the child wouldn't obey the parent. And the mother said, come, and he wouldn't come, and come, and he wouldn't come, and come, and he wouldn't come. And finally, she got exasperated and said, if you don't come, I'm going to tear my hair out, and I'm going to beat my head against the wall. Does it have to come to that? Beat the kid. Discipline him. Correct the child. There is no excuse for a parent to have to go through that type of trauma and grief from a four-year-old. By the way, they'll be 40. They'll be the same way. Amen. Amen. The only difference is they'll have a spouse that they'll be doing it to instead of you. Amen. I'm just saying. Correct them while they are young. Obviously, obeying children should stand. This is just right. But then he says, carefully cautioning brethren should stand. If you're a father or a mother, notice what he says in verse number 4. 6:4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but do what? But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In other words, he says, fathers, use some care, nurture, and use some correction, admonition, as you deal with the children, carefully cautioning them, letting them know of the consequences, letting them know what God said, letting them know that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction is designed to drive it far from them. I know we live in a nation now, they say, well, you ought not use a rod, amen. Use a rod now, or somebody's going to use something else later. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. We live in a society where kids just don't care. There's E.G.'s just right down the street here, and the Kentucky Fried Chicken is closed down, and so it's got graffiti all over the building. And G2 said, Daddy, who would want to do that? I said, somebody's not been corrected. Somebody say amen. Amen. That somebody's not been, they have no regard for somebody else's property because some parent did not correct them when they destroyed someone else's property when they were young. And so now they've got no regard to come over and show their artistic talents on somebody else's property. Well, what should have happened, mama and daddy should have caught that young man or girl, took him at home and gave him some correction. Yes, sir. By the way, it happened to us several times when we were at the storefront. And I called the graffiti abatement hotline. You say, what is the greedy up? Greedy. Graffiti abatement hotline do. It gets everyone that's been caught graffitiing a building and they have to come and clean your building. And I called them several times. You see all these little kids out there looking like a bunch of hoodlums and they're cleaning and scrubbing that stuff off. You know what I said? I bet you won't do that no more, will you? Amen. Hey, now some may do it, but you know where it all starts at? At home, in the crib, at home, in the cradle, at home. We don't correct them. By the way, you see a child doing something around the house of God, correct them. Don't let them just say, well, I'm not starting with the parent, may get mad at me. Are we here to help them or to hurt them? We're here to help them. I mean, you see them in here, the bat and ball in the church. Please, that's for the playground. Well, somebody might get offended. I'm going to get offended if the window get broke. I'm going to get offended if something gets broken around here. And say, why didn't you stop the child? Well, you know, we didn't want to hurt his feelings. Oh, but now you hurt my pocketbook. By now we got to fix the church. Correction. Nurture and admonition. Care and correction. So those are brethren that should stand. But Paul doesn't stop there. He says, sincerely say, brethren should stand. Sweetly submitting, brethren should stand. Lovingly leading, brethren should stand. Obviously obeying. Carefully cautioning, brethren should stand. But then saintly serving, brethren should stand. Brethren serving as employees. Notice verse number 5, chapter 6. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. So he says, if you're a servant, if you have someone that you're working for, then you are a servant. And he says, you need to do something. Be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart as unto Christ. By the way, they're paying your paycheck. So if nothing else, do your job because you're getting a paycheck. But you have a higher authority, your God in heaven. Now, your bosses have no... I mean, they'll dock your pay. They'll fire you. But guess what? You're still a servant of Christ. So no matter where you go, you're a servant of Christ. And so Paul, writing to the Ephesian believers, said, you know what? There are different classes of brethren that I'm writing to. And I say, finally, you're in different capacities of life. And you've got to stand, whether you're just a saved brethren, whether you're sweetly submitting as a wife, whether you're lovingly leading as a husband, whether you're obviously obeying as a child, whether you're carefully cautioning as a parent, whether you're saintly serving as an employee or as an employer. Notice verse number 9. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening. He said, you know, let up on your threatening, slacken up, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither the respect of persons. So he says, you know what? There's different levels of brethren here. You're serving as an employee. You're serving as an employer. And with that, Paul's covering, starting in chapter number 1 to chapter number 5 to chapter number 6, all these different classes of brethren that he's addressing. He says, in every walk of life, you're going to fall into one of these capacities. If you're not married and have children, have a wife or have a husband, you're going to work for somebody or you're going to be a boss. If nothing else, you're just going to be saved as a Christian. And you need to stand. And so he says, finally, my brethren, and he lets you know who should be standing. The final call to the brethren. But then there's something else. There's a firm caution to the brethren. He says, be strong in the Lord. He lets you know where to stand. He said, if you're serving as a sincerely saved person or sweetly submitting or lovingly leading or an obviously obeying or carefully cautioning or saintly serving as an employee or an employee, I want you to stand in the Lord. Paul reminds them to stand and withstand in the Lord, not in your mamas, not in your daddies. Not in the preachers, not in the deacons, not your Sunday school teachers. By the way, none of those people will be at your job. None of those people will be at your school. None of those people are going to be in a supermarket with you. None of those people are going to be out there on the playground when you get into an altercation. None of those people are going to be there. Just had on the TV the other day some more road rage. Somebody had blew the horn or hit this person. And they ran and hit them. Brother Hall was telling me they was out door knocking yesterday and there was a family altercation going on. And Brother Hall didn't know that there was a family altercation going on. And so he offered the guy some information about the church. And the guy, look, no, I don't want that. And went on. And he had blocked, I guess, his wife in. And she hit the car trying to come out the driveway. Whoa. Folks, that's not standing. And guess what? They need the Lord. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord. When those instances happen, you're not going to have mamas and daddies there. And you've got to be standing in the Lord. He's the only one that can regulate your anger. He's the only one that can regulate your vengeance. He's the only one that can regulate how you handle yourself. Why? You can't do it. And so Paul says, as a firm caution, brethren, be strong in the Lord. That's where you need to stand. Who should stand? He said, your brethren. But where to stand? Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. John 15:5, without me you can do nothing. The victory is in the Lord. We can and should expect to suffer defeat outside the Lord. Say, preacher, how do I know if I'm standing in the Lord? You can know whether you're standing in the Lord when you determine who gets the glory from your stand. If God's getting the glory, then you're standing in the Lord. If you get the glory, you're not standing in the Lord. You're standing in yourself. You're standing in your own power and your own might. But when you stand in the Lord, everything is deflected to him. All the glory is deflected to him. Folks say, how are you able to do that? I can't, but I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. How are you able to do that? I couldn't, but God gave me grace and God gave me mercy and God gave me strength and ability to do this. What am I saying? When God gets the glory, you know you're standing in the Lord. When you get the glory, you know you're standing in the flesh. The flesh always wants to sin. And the Spirit of our Lord always wants to do right. The flesh is all bad and the Spirit is all good. It's not a matter of who will win, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The matter is not who will win, because the Spirit always will win. The matter is, who will I give control to in this battle? Am I going to give the Lord the battle by being strong in the Lord, knowing I am a brethren, or am I going to give in to the flesh and stand or fall? Philippians 3:3, Paul says we have no confidence in the flesh. And so Paul gives firm caution to the brethren so they won't attempt to live the Christian life in the flesh. Then lastly, Paul says this, finally, my brethren, he lets you know who should stand. Be strong in the Lord. He lets you know where to stand. But then he says, in the power of his might. Paul said, heed the fixed concern. There's a fixed concern. I want to make sure this is in the power of his might. He said, this is how you're going to be able to do this. We don't have our own power. We don't have our own might. I am just a vehicle that the Spirit of God uses. I'm just a vessel that God uses. And God works through me. His Spirit is his. The Word is his. The armor is his. The only thing that I possess is this body. You say, but I'm alive, but you're supposed to be dead unto Christ. Hey, when we got baptized, it was a dead with him in likeness of his death, raised to walk in a newness of life. And so every morning when I wake up and I look into the mirror and I said, you're a dead man, you're a dead woman, you're a dead boy, you're a dead girl, but I'm alive to Christ. Pronounce sentence on that flesh and say, I'm not going to get angry today. I'm not going to get upset today. I'm not going to get vengeance today. I'm not going to go evil for evil today. I'm not going to do it. Well, I'm a dead man. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said, you know what, it's not me. I'm going to put off the old man. Ephesians 4:22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. 4:24 says it this way, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. In other words, 2 Corinthians 12:10, for when I am weak, then am I strong. I like it the way Paul says it to the Romans in Romans 7:18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Paul said, for to will is present with me. He said, I want to do it. He said, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Why? Self has got to be dead. The Savior's got to be alive. And so Paul, writing to this church, letting them know that after all the instruction that he's given them and the classes of brethren that should be standing and where they should be standing and whom they should be standing, gives them that last warning. It's got to be in the power of his might. We'll never be able to stand and withstand the Lord in the power of his might until we realize that we're weak in ourselves. The minute we think we're strong, take heed lest you fall. It's not us. It's the Spirit of God working in us. So you and I as brethren can stand and withstand an evil day. And so Paul, as he is about to address the remaining verses 11, 12, 13, down through 17, he's given them everything that they need up until this point. He says, finally, my brethren, this is what I want you to do. If you're saved, I want you to know who you're standing in. The Lord. I want you to know where you're standing. The power of His might. And He's going to encourage us to put on the whole armor. Why? I'm in a battle. You're in a battle. We have an adversary. We have an enemy. And that enemy is no other than Satan. But he's not alone. Verse number 12 lets us know more about that. And we'll do a little bit more review next week. But my question, my challenge today is, what capacity of a brother are you in? Are you sincerely saved? Then stand. If you're sweetly submitting, then stand. If you're lovingly leading as a husband, stand. If you're obviously obeying as a child, then stand. If you're carefully cautioning as a parent, then stand. If you're saintly serving as an employee or an employer, stand.
Amen.
But Paul says, but stand strong in the Lord and the power of His might. You know, I don't know today if you're saved or not, but I would encourage you, if you're saved, stand. Stand. If you're not saved, get saved. Now, I'm not here to pump fear into you like I was scared that day. But I am here to lovingly caution you that there is a real hell. There is a real devil. There is a real fate at the end. It's not my job to scare you. I couldn't scare you if I wanted to. But you should be consciously aware that there is an eternity. And there's an eternity with God or without God. The eternity without God is one that the Bible describes very horribly and very vividly. And I wouldn't wish that on anyone. But anyone that rejects Jesus Christ, God's Son, that's where they will go. The Bible says that the lake of fire was created for the devil and his angels, not for you, not for I. The Bible says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some may count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's the love of God. You know, it's only by the grace of God that the many days that I drank and drove, that I survived. To the glory of God, there were some days I don't even remember how I got home. I just woke up at home, and I don't know how I got home. That's the grace of God. It's the grace of God that I didn't kill someone like that lady did a couple weeks ago or injure people. And I don't wish that on anyone. Not anyone. But I do know there's a real devil who wants to capture and captivate you and keep you in that life and wants to make that life with Jesus Christ void to you. Children, if you're not saved, get saved today. Adults, if you're not saved, get saved today. If we're saved, let's put on the armor and let's live like it. Let's show that world out there there's somebody worth living for, and his name is Jesus Christ. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one looking around. Just for a moment. Children will be coming in from Children's Church here in just a moment. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love. I do pray that, Lord, the same way you worked on my heart, February 3rd, 1991, you would work on a young man's heart, a young lady's heart, an adult's heart, a grandmother's heart, a grandfather's heart, an uncle's heart, an aunt's heart, maybe a brother's, sister's heart. Lord, you would allow them to see that at the end of this road, there is an eternity, and that you love us. And there is a real war raging and waging around us, and we must have on the armor. And Lord, if there's one that's not saved, speak to that heart of that man, that woman, that boy or girl. They would come and let us take a Bible and show them how they can be gloriously saved tonight. And Lord, if they're saved, help them to continue to stand and recognize others need to be rescued, just like was seen yesterday out on door knocking. Lord, bless this invitation in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one looking around. How many would say, preacher, if I died right now, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I am born again. And there is no doubt in my mind I am going to heaven based upon what Jesus Christ did, not based upon what I did. You raise your hand. Testimony of God. I know I'm born again. no doubt at all. I know I'm saved. Amen. Amen. Hands going up all over the place. You may put them down. How many would say, preacher, if the truth be known, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I'm not sure I'm born again. I'd like to know. Would you pray for me? I won't come and point you out. I won't come and call you by name, but I do want to pray for you. And you raise your hand high. Pray for me, preacher. I'm not sure I'm born again. If I died, I got some doubts in my mind, some doubts in my heart. Would you pray for me? Anyone at all? Anyone at all? Amen. How many would say, preacher, you know, it has been increasingly tough to stand. I've had my bouts of falling, but I've gotten back up. Pray for me that I can continue being strong in my stand. Would you pray for me, preacher? I want to continue standing. I've fallen, but I've gotten back up. Pray for me. Pray for me, amen. I see several hands going up. How many would say, preacher, you know, I've not fallen at this point, and I don't plan on falling. Would you pray that I can be strong, that I can continue to stand and not fall? Pray for me, preacher. I don't want to get prideful, but I want to stand. Pray for me. Amen. Amen. Hands going up all over the place again. Father, you see the hands that have been raised and the Christians in need and those that are in need of a Savior. And I pray that you would speak to each heart. Lord, those that are continuing to stand that have not fallen, keep them strong. Help them to take heed lest they fall. Those that maybe have fell a few times but they got back up, keep them strong in the battle and keep them clothed with their armor. Lord, those that maybe are doubting that they're saved today, reassure them with your love. Help them to see that they need to be saved. They need to be born again. They need a Savior. And Lord, help us to stand in the capacity that you've called us, whether we're sweetly submitting, lovingly leading, obviously obeying as a child, carefully cautioning as a parent, saintly serving as an employee or an employer. Help us to stand in those capacities with our armor on and being a testimony of the goodness of God. Bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. As Natasha plays, maybe God spoke in your heart. Maybe you need to come down and pray for not your stand, but maybe a loved one's stand. Or maybe a friend's stand. I know Paul's given us everything. Brought our attention to what the Holy Spirit's given us. Our wealth in Christ. Our beliefs, why we can stand. Let us know our walk, how we behave ourselves. Let us know about the battle. Maybe today you come and say, Lord, keep me strong. As the song says, keep me shining for thee. Maybe you lay your burdens, your petition at the Lord's feet. Lord, keep me strong. I don't want to become a victim. Lord, I don't want to become one that's going to be a straggler. Lord, help me to be vigilant. I know I've got the victory. Help me to stand in my submission. May it be sweet. Help me to stand in my loving. Help me to lead. Help me to stand in my obeying. Help me to make it obvious. Help me, Lord, in my cautioning. Help me to carefully do that with my children. Help me today, Lord, as a serving saint. Whether an employee or an employer, help me to do what I need to do. Lord, help me. Paul said there's a final call. It's to the brethren. There's a firm caution. He said, be strong in the Lord. And then he said, you know, there's a fixed concern. Make sure it's his power, his mind, not your own. I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Would you come? Do you need to be saved today? Are you born again? Are you facing the battle valiantly? Or do you need to shore some things up? Be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. God's given us everything that we need. Our job now is just to stand in his power and his might. Putting on the whole armor of God that we can stand. Perhaps you're here today, you need to be baptized. Would you come? Maybe you need to join this church. Would you come? Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. Thank you that it transcends time, Lord, and we know the application to ourselves. And God help us to heed this final call. As Paul begins to detail what they need to do with the armor and the enemy that they need to stand against, because this enemy will raise his head in the families and in society, in public and in private, these enemies will be there. And Lord, it behooves us to have on the whole armor of God. I pray for that one that is struggling today, Lord, with their salvation, that one that's struggling with a sensitive issue in their life, that one that's struggling, Lord, to stand in a particular area, or maybe standing against a particular person, or struggling with a particular sin. Lord, let them know there's love and there's mercy and there's forgiveness in God. But most of all, there's power as we stand in His might. Thank you so much for loving us, ministering to us, Lord, to help us now in the next portion of our service, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 If you would, take your seats just for a moment.